Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it's a Friday. Here we go. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor, blazing 5 in 1 hour. Joy Taylor is wearing the Houston Texans color scheme.
Ugh. I am. I think this is pink, but it's close enough to it. And you know what? They deserve it because they put it on the Dolphins last night.
It was really, really impressive. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
We have a great show today and a Friday. 1 hour from now, Blazing 5, over 60%, hottest picks I've ever had in my career to this point. We were 4-1 last week, and I like my picks even better this week. Let me start with this. Deshaun Watson threw for 5 touchdowns. He had more touchdowns than incompletions last night. That was an eye-popping athlete. That was a special athlete. That was a unique athlete. That's what a number one pick should look like, especially at quarterback. So let me start with this. I never understood why Mitch Trubisky got picked over Deshaun Watson. They played in the same conference in college. I watched them both play. It wasn't close. Secondly, is Nick Saban had 6 weeks to prepare for Deshaun Watson twice and couldn't figure out how to stop him. Nick Saban stopped everybody in 10 years. The one guy couldn't stop, Deshaun Watson, and he had 6 weeks twice and couldn't stop him. What you saw was part Michael Vick, part Big Ben, part Aaron Rodgers, part Russell Wilson, little bit of Carson Wentz, a little bit of Cam Newton. What you saw last night was wow. And that's why he should have been a number one pick and why Baker Mayfield should not. If you're a number one quarterback, I don't want qualifiers. Well, you know, he's a little small, but I don't want but. Well, you know, he's a two-time walk-on, but I don't want walk-ons. Size, arm, mobility, athletic ability. I don't want to hear about Baker Mayfield's dropped passes. This kid's dealing with the worst offensive line in football, has a hit-and-miss, mostly-miss running game, and through 15 games, he's got 34 touchdown passes. That's second in the history of the NFL. And he's doing it right now with a coach very few people love, an atrocious offensive line, in the improved AFC. Only Kurt Warner has more, and Dan Marino's right behind him. I don't want to hear about Baker Mayfield's dropped touchdown passes. He's got real backs. He's got a star receiver, too. He's got a better O-line. His defense leads the NFL in takeaways. Houston's defense, frankly, is talented but underachieving. I mean, I like Houston's defense, but it's not as good as it should be. Even Troy Aikman said that last night. Just watch this play last night. There's no qualifiers. This is what a number one quarterback should look like. I can't believe he wasn't taking number one. Here it is.
Here he is to his right on fourth and goal. Now back to his left. Nowhere to throw it. Now he finds a man, and the pass is caught for the touchdown. Jordan Thomas again.
It almost looked like it was designed, but I don't believe that it was. That's not an easy throw to make for a guy right-handed running like that to his left, but a good job finishing off there on fourth down for the touchdown.
I mean, the guy had 5 touchdown passes. He had more touchdowns than incompletions. And for the record, he has a great wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, and that's about it. That's about it. He doesn't have enough running backs that are good enough so they can trade one. Baker does. Baker's got a better O-line. Baker's got a defense that leads the NFL easily in takeaways. Baker so far has had a schedule that works to his advantage. This kid, that's what they look like. That's what number one picks look like. That's why when Mitch Trubisky came out, I said, well, Mitch Trubisky, he could work maybe, but that's not what a number one. Mitch Trubisky, not what a number one quarterback looks like. Mitch Trubisky with a good defense, with the right coach, with a good running game, with could work. This kid will be a superstar with talent and is still working without much. He's got one great wide receiver. Now, give the Texans coaching staff credit. He dropped back to throw last night 20 times. At this point, he's got a couple of receivers he really likes, but can you blame him? The kid's running for his life, doesn't have a dependable running game. But I don't want to hear you run to Twitter this weekend and talk about dropped passes. This kid's got, outside of Hopkins, nothing to work with, and he put on a clinic. And don't tell me, well, it was Miami. They had a winning record and just beat the Bears. And don't tell me Miami's no good. They just beat the Bears and had a winning record. And Adam Gase, a very, very good young coach. That kid, that's wow. That's what I get with Cam. That's what I get with Wentz. That's what I get with Andrew Luck. I get like, woo!
Even though he did put it on my Dolphins last night, it was nice to see because Deshaun Watson was thrilling. He was Patrick Mahomes before his injury.
Yes.
He's just kind of been out of sight, out of mind because they've sort of struggled to get to this point again.
First time I ever watched the Houston Texans. They're not going to win the Super Bowl, but Joy, it's the first time I've ever watched them and seriously considered, oh, they're kind of in the Super Bowl group now. They're in that like 10, they're in the Super Bowl group of 10 to 12 teams that you think if they can be healthy, get a break.
I don't know if they have all of the pieces.
I don't
they
think
need
they do. They don't. They can't run the ball
to yes. get to the Super Bowl. But I think if they put that together, Deshaun Watson is a franchise quarterback.
And, oh God, yeah. And you got to take him seriously.
Yes.
You have to take them seriously. I don't want to hear about drop passes from the other guy. That's what it looks like when you got the right guy. All right, let me shift to this. Speaking of the right guy, I always ask my staff, give me the box score. Even coaches look at box scores. Man, does Lonzo Ball of the Lakers fill up a box score? 8 assists, 12 points, 5 steals, 6 rebounds, 5 for 10, as the Lakers beat the previously undefeated Denver Nuggets at home. By the way, he is shooting now 40% on threes. He is a very polished second-year player. The Lakers are 2-1 with Lonzo starting. They'd be 3-0. They lost to the Spurs in overtime. If LeBron could hit one free throw, they'd be 3-0 with Lonzo Ball. They are cleaner offensively with Lonzo. The ball moves better with Lonzo Ball. The Lakers got Rondo for two things, his IQ and his toughness. But Lonzo's just as smart a basketball player, and they got plenty of dogs on this team. Lance is a dog, JaVale McGee, Kyle Kuzma. Dogs aren't their issue. Here's the most impressive thing, though, about Lonzo Ball. When you come into the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball and you have a couple of flaws, even the great ones do. Magic Johnson couldn't shoot his first year in the league. So when you come into the league and you got a couple of flaws and 1 year later you've corrected both of them. Damn. He came into the league. We looked up the scouting report this morning. Doesn't have an NBA body. Worry about his three-point shooting. His body's an NBA body, and last night, once again, his three-point shooting is a real thing. Folks, Derrick Rose, John Wall, Westbrook, they've been in this league over 10 years. Their big problems, they can't shoot the three. They still can't shoot it. Their big problems, don't play well with others. They still don't play well with others. For Lonzo Ball to come in the league, we knew some stuff about him. Really good length, plays well with others, terrific court vision, doesn't turn it over that much considering how often he has the ball. We knew those things. 6'6 guard, long, great vision, plays well with others. We just didn't know. That NBA body, that's not an NBA body. Oh, no, he fixed that. He fixed that in 9 months. And three-point shooting, it looks like I might. Oh, he fixed that too. That's what I say. Like when you come into the NFL, Patrick Mahomes, and you have a couple of issues, and then a year later, I'm like, oh, no, he solved those issues. I mean, Cam Newton's having a pretty good year, but we're 8 years in now. He's just now getting the precision thing down. And Cam's good. But we've been waiting for that thing for years to get that thing. I got to tell you something. Lonzo Ball's impressive. If you told me next 10 years who's going to run the show here, LeBron's gone in four. This kid's impressive. Here's a moment last night with Lonzo Ball.
Lakers with the lead and 3 minutes to play. Lonzo Ball, step back three. Yes, sir!
I mean, he set up Jokic for that step back. Jokic went for it, and boy, did he pay the ultimate price.
Lonzo Ball.
And, you know, we all know the Lakers had the one big unsettled issue. Rondo, Lonzo, which one's going to play with LeBron? Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith last night agree with me.
They play faster. They're much faster with LeBron, Kuzma, when Ball is pushing the ball. That's just my personal opinion.
I think he's the X factor. I root for him. I've watched him, you know, since ninth grade, eighth grade, whatever it was. I think he's a great player. I'm happy that the focus is on LeBron and not other external things around him.
Impressive stuff. Lakers pick up the win. Really, really impressive. When young guys come into a league and you're the quarterback, you're the point guard, you're going to be the franchise guy, you're going to have the ball in your hands. A year later, the two things I worry about, you solve both. Wow. That's Derrick Rose, Westbrook, John Wall, we're 10 years in. They haven't solved their issues.
People forget, you know, that NBA three-point line is very far back. If you ever get confused, go to a game and actually look at it. It's really far. So if you put on weight and you get stronger, it would make sense that you're able to shoot more threes.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it doesn't look the most artistic three-point shot. It's not the most beautiful three-point shot.
If it goes in.
It goes in. Yeah, I was always kind of, you know, I always kind of bristled at, you got to completely change your shot. Listen, man.
Your shot is not just, it's not just in your hands. It's your whole body.
There's a lot of golf shots. A lot. Not everybody looks like Fred Couples. A lot of golfers have weird habits. If the putts go in, the putts go in.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You've heard of comfort food, Joy, of course, comfort food.
Yes, love comfort food.
Yeah, everybody loves comfort food. Not good for you. It's starchy. It's often fried food, but it makes you feel good. And a lot of times, I love comfort food. I love mashed potatoes.
Oh, I love mashed potatoes. Now
these days, they got garlic mashed potatoes, lobster mashed potatoes.
Truffle mashed potatoes. They're the great. Cheesy mashed potatoes.
What makes you comfortable is not necessarily good for you, but it's called comfort food. It makes you feel good. You know, you sit on the couch, you snuggle up, you watch an old movie of comfort food, you fall asleep. I think it's very interesting. Gronk is returning for the Patriots this week. He's become Brady's comfort food. Never forget this. Belichick tried to trade him. And Brady steps in and says, no, we're not trading him. Belichick tried to trade him. By the way, you do realize that Belichick let go of Malcolm Butler, who can no longer play. Nate Solder, left tackle, who's been exposed. Danny Amendola, who has one touchdown in eight games, and Deion Lewis, who has mostly disappeared. When it comes to personnel, Bill is almost always right. New England is 10-1 without Gronk last 3 years. They're 22-6 with him. That whole Belichick-Brady riff, we all get Belichick was right. Malcolm Butler can't play. At the end of last year, he couldn't play. And Deion Lewis and Danny Amendola, they're not worth the money. And Nate Solder's been exposed. And Belichick tried to trade Gronk. Don't forget that. Do not forget that. When I read Gronk is returning this week, it doesn't move the line in Vegas half a point. It doesn't matter. In fact, Gronk is 30 catches behind. We're not even halfway point in the NFL season. He's already 30 catches behind the leading tight end in the league, Zach Ertz. George Kittle and C.J. Beathard are better. Now, here's the key. Does it make Brady happier to have him? Yes. Is it a weapon? Well, yes. But wins and losses, and that's all Belichick cares about? It's actually not helping. And I think Belichick tried to trade Gronk because of this. Brady uses Gronk as a crutch. He uses it as a crutch. I watched Brady last week. When Brady's at his best, he's spreading the ball around. It's infuriating. If you're a defensive coordinator, he's throwing to backs, he's throwing to slots, he's throwing to Gordon, But when Gronk comes back, Tom tends to sort of lean on him. He can go into a Gronk drive. And again, Gronk is becoming Brady's 6 foot, 5.5, 260-pound binky blanket. Is that, yes, it makes Tom happier and it makes Tom comfortable, but you can't build an offense around Gronk. He's just not physically reliable. Travis Kelce, you can build it around. Zach Ertz, you can build it around. Right now in San Francisco, George Kittle is more available. But a lot of the things that make us comfortable don't make us better, and I think Belichick knows it. I think Belichick says we're 22-6 with him. We're 10-1 without him. And Brady is forced when Gronk is not there to sprinkle the ball around the infield. And it, frankly, now with Josh Gordon, I find him more dangerous. They didn't need Gronk last week. I mean, that, Brady was totally impressive. Totally impressive. You go up, I'm putting the numbers up. With and without Gronk, it's the same football team. The only difference is Brady doesn't have that crutch. That's why, you know, when I see news like Gronk is back, my takeaway is, oh, Tom's going to be glomming on to Gronk. And Gronk is really good, but Brady at his best to me has 8 targets. And I think Belichick knows it. And never forget this, Belichick tried to trade him.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Everybody's very emotional about Baker Mayfield because I don't think he's a number one pick. I think Cleveland took the wrong guy. But a lot of you, because you either hate me or love Baker, it's a very emotional topic. Vegas doesn't give a rip about anything but money. That's why the first thing I look at when I look at games, what's Vegas say about it? Okay, you got opinions. I got opinions. And your opinions are more emotional than mine because my job is to not have really emotional opinions. But I am a human. But Vegas doesn't give a rip. Vegas has bailed on Baker Mayfield. They bailed on him. The line this week for a rivalry game, the Browns lead the NFL in takeaways. The Steelers tend to turn it over. And the Steelers are almost 9-point favorites. 8.5, 8, 9-point favorites. 2 weeks ago, the L.A. Chargers were a 1-point favorite over Cleveland. Vegas watched Baker Mayfield get overwhelmed by the Chargers and then watched Baker Mayfield against the worst defense in the league, Tampa Bay, for 3 quarters, could not move the football. Everybody moves the football in Tampa. Okay, they bailed on him. Vegas is telling you, Steelers are now like a 9-point favorite. That is a huge number. And by the way, Cleveland's defense is better statistically than Pittsburgh's. And they're giving Baker 3 turnovers a week. When Vegas bails on you, they bailed. They don't think he's as good as Ohio does and what the media does. The media keeps putting up qualifiers for Baker. Well, if you do this and you do that and you do this. Deshaun Watson last night, that's what a number one pick at quarterback looks like. Carson Wentz, Andrew Luck, that's what Peyton Manning, John Elway, that's what a number one quarterback should look like. Not 5'11 and a half and a 2-time walk-on who, if everything is right, I mean, Vegas. So, and another reason that I said Baker should have never been picked number one is because, A, it's a northern division. So, post-Thanksgiving, the rest of his career, it's going to be wet, cold, dark, windy, damp. It's a hard place to play. I want a bigger, stronger quarterback. I want Carson Wentz. I want a bigger, stronger dude. Flacco. Big Ben in that division. The quarterback without a great arm, Andy Dalton, has struggled in that division post-Thanksgiving. But I also said, I warned you about it in Hard Knocks, this coaching staff, Todd Haley got a big ego. Hugh Jackson's got a big ego. They're just talking. This week, Hugh Jackson alone. Let's play a couple of bites from Hugh Jackson this week.
Being a head coach and an offensive guy who's done this, I think I have every right as a head coach to jump in here and see if I can help. I feel like I have to, and I want to. You know, that's what I know. So I'm not going to continue to watch something that I know how to do, keep being that way. That's just the truth. I'm the head coach of the football team, period, period. There's nothing else that needs to be said. Nothing.
Okay, that was Sunday. So Joy and I were like, did you have to say that? So on Sunday it was, hey, this is my show. I'm the boss. And on Tuesday, Hugh talked again, and he backtracked.
I never said that I would take over the play calling. I can't worry about where everybody comes from and what everybody wants, how they want to write it. I can only go by what I say. And I know what I meant, and I know what I said. And I still feel the same way today.
Okay. Of the many reasons I wouldn't have taken Baker number one. Number one, I don't think he's athletic enough, big enough, strong enough to be in a northern climate. Number two is, I don't think he's that, I think he's talented, but I think he's closer to Case Keenum than Carson Wentz. And number three is this nonsense. This is not an easy job. Okay. It's hard for a rookie quarterback in a well-run franchise. Okay? It's hard if you were replacing Brady and you got Bob Kraft and you have Belichick. I mean, we saw Garoppolo. He got hurt. And, you know, Jacoby Brissett, when he was young, Belichick had him when Brady was suspended and he got shut out. He had one good game, one bad game. It's hard. This rookie quarterback thing is hard. Then you add in the weather. The Steelers are in your division. The Ravens are in your division. And it's nonsense. But I looked at the number this week, and my takeaway was Vegas has no emotion on this. Go ahead, run to Twitter. I don't want to hear about drop passes. Vegas is like, yeah, we saw him the last 2 weeks against the worst defense in the league. He couldn't do anything for three quarters. And we saw him against a good defense that's aggressive, and he was totally overwhelmed. That 8-point spread, that 8.5-point spread, that's not what the number should be. I mean, hell, Sam Darnold's getting 7.5. He's got no weapons. He's going to Chicago and playing a Bears defense that's pissed because the last 2 weeks they have games they should have won and lost. And he's only getting like a touchdown. Of the many things I want to talk about, there is a I don't want to bury officials. Can I talk about that game last night just for 2 minutes here? The officials last night in the NFL game, it was a 3.5-hour clown show. They butchered the opening kickoff. And I'm not going to rail on him, but they had a flag at half on a kneel down. I mean, kickoff, kneel down, and they managed to rob us, oh, I don't know, of the greatest catch in NFL history. Watch.
Third down and 8. Watson, pass downfield, and what a catch.
Oh, God.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh.
But it's offensive pass interference. Did he secure this catch? Oh, my God.
He sure
God.
Did. I mean, how good is that? There was contact there. I'm not so sure that Howard wasn't interfering him as much as what Hopkins was with Howard.
Mike Pereira.
Kind of one of those where I get it. There is a little bit of a shove, but there's also a grab by the defender. You know, to me, it's one of those hands fighting. Those I would rather see left alone and not called.
That play now does not exist. It doesn't exist. That's the best catch in the league, maybe even including Odell Beckham's one-hander. Because that was a one-hander, and I'm going to put it underneath my legs. And DeAndre Hopkins was not in the greatest mood after the game.
Replayed it a whole bunch of times to see if I pushed off. And, you know, I'm an honest judge. It was hand battling. And, you know, the guy had two hands. He was off balance. So I think somebody owed me an apology. I don't know who it is. Somebody owed me an apology.
By the way, he also had a great play last year. I don't know if we have it. Was it when was that play? Oh, yeah. It was against the Giants, right? He had another one of the all-time great catches in NFL history taken away against the Giants. You can go look it up on YouTube. It was years and years ago. It's like new rule in sports. Call less stuff. If you think it's holding but you're not sure and it's away from the play, just it didn't happen. It it could have been if you ever use the word could, don't call it. That could have been. Don't call interference, because that play now doesn't exist.
What's up, everybody? This is John Middlecoff on the 3 and Out podcast, brought to you by Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. If you like Colin's show, you will like mine. I talk a ton of football. Tonight, today, whenever you're listening, I'm talking about Eli Manning. He's washed up. The Amari Cooper trade from John Gruden to Jerry Jones. You know that's spicy. Got a lot of opinions on that. You can listen to me wherever you find your podcast. Again, John Middlecoff, the 3 and Out podcast.
Let me expound upon this, because I think Green Bay is going to play really, really well this week. I just don't think they'll match up with some of the personnel. I just don't write. They have no running game. I mean, they have no running game. The Rams have the best running game arguably in the league, and they're at home. But if you go look at Green Bay's next 5 weeks, and I don't want to overstep this, right? I'm not trying to hyperventilate here. I can make the argument it is the most important 5-week stretch in Aaron Rodgers' regular season career. And I don't think I'm, and when I say that, there's a lot of reasons. First of all, Aaron Rodgers is becoming a tweener. All the young quarterbacks we love, Mahomes, Wentz, Deshaun Watson, and Goff, they all have much better rosters, much better teams. The old guys, Rivers, Brady, Breeze, Big Ben, have much better rosters, and much better teams. And I look at that at the Rams, at the Patriots, Miami, at the Seahawks, at Minnesota. Folks, they're going to come out of this potentially a 4-6-1 team. I mean, if they went 2-3, wouldn't you take that today if you were a Packer fan? Wouldn't you take 2-3? If I could tell you, you'll win at the Rams and you'll win at the Vikings, you take that today. If I gave you 2-3 with that, well, what about the Dolphins? If you can win, I don't know what of those road games you're going to win. And if they go 1-4 on this five-game stretch, and I think it's real possible, they're done in the NFC. My guess is Mike McCarthy is done in Green Bay. And tell me who the next great coaching candidate is. Folks, I'm not hyperventilating. This thing is staring us right in the face. This is a real thing. The young guns in this league are on much better teams with much better weapons and running games. The old guys in this league are on much better teams, much better rosters, and they got running games. Aaron's got a weaker roster. Aaron's got virtually, I'm not even saying virtually, he's got no running game. And they're in the five toughest weeks in the NFL for any team. They are a 9.5-point dog. Aaron is 29th in the league in completion percentage, 10th in passer rating. Folks, something's not right here. Something's not right here. This is crisis time for them, and Aaron talked about it this week.
Well, we're going to have to play better. You know, we're going to have to play a lot better than we have to win those games. This is an important stretch in our season. I'm not going to say it's going to define our season, but it's definitely going to shake things out when we get on the other side of this and get back home in 6 weeks on where we're at in the race and what we're playing for.
It is absolutely – this is no more R-E-L-A-X. It's closer to get her done, G-E-T-R-D-O-N-E, get her done, because this is a rough stretch.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Former Bear coach, Dolphin coach, national champion, defensive coordinator at Miami, Super Bowl defensive coordinator with Jimmy Johnson. He's Uncle Dave. Dave's Storytime Wonstat. What is going on? Look at you.
Well, not much. I was just listening.
You like Watson. You love him.
I loved Watson. That was my opening storyline on our NFL kickoff show Sunday morning.
You love him.
I said that having him come back and Watt would make a difference. I was excited to see where this team could go, and I think it's all coming alive right now.
I said, Dave, it was the first time I've watched the Texans in years, and maybe they're not in that five teams that can win the Super Bowl, but they're in the 10. Like sometimes, I remember Pete Carroll said this years ago, the better the player, I can't coach everything. You got to be able to do some stuff I can't coach. When I watched him last night, you can't. This is why Nick Saban couldn't do anything. He's off script.
Right. He might have been, before he got hurt last year, he arguably could have been the most exciting player in the NFL.
He was Patrick Mahomes before Patrick.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing, you mentioned 2 points, you know, that one, that he threw 20 passes. Let's keep that in mind. That's
yes.
a good thing.
Yes.
You know, if you can keep him doing that and not 50, I think that's going to make a big difference in his performance. The second thing, don't go too crazy on the Dolphins now, okay?
Coach.
Are you kidding me? The only thing good about the Dolphins is their coach calls good plays, Adam Gase, okay? I mean, they got 11 sacks on the whole season, okay? I mean, they're 29th in the league in sacks, so they don't sack the quarterback very often. They may have sacked the Bears, but, you know, that's not their forte. So it was a good win. It was a good win for Houston, but I'm not giving Miami very much credit. And I said that on our kickoff show last Sunday. You don't listen to anything.
I listen to it. You're just – jeez. I do. I listen to you. Okay, so we were talking about this yesterday. John Elway, dad was a coach, went to Stanford, ran an arena team, was a great quarterback, good businessman. And he's struggling to find a quarterback. Okay.
Yep.
He drafted Paxton. He drafted Brock. He offered to keep Brock. This finding a quarterback thing is hard. Do you think Gruden should give up Derek Carr?
No. Let me tell you, just with all the players, and maybe there's more to the story that we're not aware of from a financial standpoint, an ownership standpoint. Yeah. I don't know. But I would just say this, and I was at Dallas when we had three number ones and three number twos and as many draft picks as is about what you can have. And I went back and looked when this started happening with John Gruden, and he's a friend of mine, but I went back and looked at when he was at Tampa and when he was at Oakland, and you look at he had 10 total first-round picks. I think four of them worked out to the point where you would say, boy, that was a good pick for us. 40%. I don't know. Is that good? One of them was the kicker, Janikowski.
Yeah.
Okay. My point is this. Having picks is one scenario. Making the right picks is something else. And when you have a proven player, I gave up a first and second round pick for Ricky Williams when I was at the Dolphins, right?
So running back Ricky Williams.
Running back
but
Ricky
Williams. He was good for you, though.
He led MVP in the NFL. He led to 1,800 yards rushing.
So you
was
gave
he good
up
for me? Yes, I gave up. But I gave up the draft pick because I was not convinced. We needed a running back desperately. It was Lamar Smith, and he had kind of finished his career with us, and we needed a back, and we were debating, are we going to take a chance and pick one in the first round, or can we get a proven guy? And, that's a debate. A lot of guys like the youthful guys if you can pick them correctly. And that's easier said than done, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I think Derek Carr, if you got a first-round pick, it would be hard to duplicate Derek Carr. I mean, you do college football. Here's his notable first-round picks for John Gruden. You do college football. You see all these college quarterbacks.
Yep.
Coach, there's one in the whole sport I like, Justin Herbert at Oregon. Yeah, you can have the rest of them.
Yeah, and, at this point, he would probably be the top guy.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a gamble, and it's just not. This is what you get into when you take a guy, a quarterback, in the first round. Everything that comes with him, from the standpoint, first round status, the money that comes with him, the agent, the fame. I mean, the surrounding. I mean, there's a lot more to it than the kid just going from college and going out and playing on a professional field. A lot more things he's got to deal with, particularly at the quarterback position. And some of these guys can't handle it. When you have a guy that can handle it and you see him doing it, you just better be careful.
By the way, you had many great years in Dallas. Your stories are hysterically funny. You're Jimmy Johnson's guy. You were always his defensive guy. If he was to coach again, you'd be his defensive guy, and you wouldn't do TV. Jerry Jones is an interesting figure. I've always said Jerry may meddle, but he is pretty patient with coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he gave Dave Campbell 3 years. He gave Barry Switzer four in his nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Jason Garrett, Dak going forward, do you feel like, let's start with Dak. Do you feel for Dak Prescott, this is a make or break year?
I don't. I look at the history. Look at the history we're talking about with coaches. But if Jerry likes you, he's gonna stick with you.
He liked Romo very early.
Troy was there. I mean, the history of the Dallas Cowboys when they had success, it has not been. Jimmy was talking last night on the pregame show. I think since I left, the Bears have had 18 starting quarterbacks. I mean, the Dolphins have had 18 quarterbacks since I left with Jay Fiedler, okay? And they haven't won a playoff game since. The point that I'm making is that Jerry, it was Troy for, 12 or 13 years,
yes.
Right? Romo for 10 years, as then, you just said.
Then there was the messy year where everybody got hurt.
Yeah, but the point is that I think Jerry likes – if he likes you, he wants stability at the quarterback position. I believe that in his mind, Dak Prescott is his guy for the future. And that he's going to go with them, and he's going to try to do everything in his power that he can do to give him the best chance to be successful.
You know, it's funny. People are being very critical of the Amari Cooper deal. And my takeaway is this. I have a weird theory on this. Belichick quit drafting receivers early. He quit.
Right.
Because he butchered it. The wide receiver position is a very difficult position. Guards, tackles, centers, linebackers. They're dudes. They're football
mm-hmm.
players.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receiver's a little like an NBA dude. He's got a little personality, breaks the huddle first, kind of on his own. And if you go look at the last 4 or 5 years of wide receiver picks in the first round, Coach, they've been busts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think Amari Cooper is better and more tangible than what was available in the draft. And the Cowboys are like, listen, we got our pass rushers.
Yep.
I got my left tackle. I got my back and I got my linebackers.
And I also think that this sends a message to his team. When you look at that division, I mean, you know, the Redskins are at the top of the division, and they're a good football team. Yeah. We agree on that. The Eagles, I think, still have probably the most talent, and they'll maybe get it together. We know where the Giants are. Jerry's looking and saying, you know what, we're one game out of first place.
And maybe one position.
Maybe one position. If we can do something, if I can do something, I mean, that's a motivating thing for the players on the team and the coaches. I mean, hey, you know what, we this gives them a little spark. It might be the difference in them turning this season around.
Trent Dilfer said that. You want to drive to the practice every day saying can, not can't.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
And now they drive, hey, we can go over the top.
Yep, absolutely.
We can throw 30 times. Okay, listen, Baker Mayfield. Now, I didn't like his college nonsense. I hear that you think he's just having a great year.
Well, I would have taken him of all the quarterbacks. So let me tell you
something. Over Darnold.
And I want Sam Darnold to marry my daughter, okay? She's too old. They each have three kids. But if they were young, I mean, I love Sam Darnold. Don't get me wrong. I've spent some time with him, with Matt Leinart. I love him. I think he's going to be a great pro. But I looked at it this way before the draft. And my mind, I said, you know, if you put the ball on a 20-yard line and you told me my job depends on it, take a quarterback and you got to get the ball in the end zone. Running it, throwing it, doing whatever you got to do, I would have taken Baker Mayfield.
5'11 and a half.
Yeah, I know. I heard the same stories with Drew Brees, you know, same stories. I mean, that doesn't bother me. The guy can make the throws. He's a competitor. Cleveland, look where the guy's at. It's a mess. I watched one episode of that.
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. And I said, I'll never watch that again. I mean, it was chaos in that staff meeting. Chaos. I'm serious.
Did you and Jimmy tell me a funny?
It was no. I mean, it was.
Tell me a funny story.
And then the head coach comes out last week and says, "I'm going to get more involved in the offense." What kind of message does that send to your quarterback that what you're doing isn't good enough? You know what I mean? I mean, you might go into the offensive coordinator and say, "Hey, I'm going to be in meetings more. I want to do a little more of this, a little less of that." Right? I've done that, coach. I mean, that's. You don't announce it to the media that I'm going to be more involved.
Yeah, Joy said that.
That's sending the wrong message to your team and that something's broken. That's what you're saying. You know what? Something's broken what we're doing.
Did you know what that is, Colin?
What?
A lack of emotional discipline.
That's right, which I love.
Yeah, what? Did he blame it all on emotions? I don't know.
No, but you're right.
Well, it's an emotional reaction.
By the way, you and Jimmy Johnson, story time. Did you ever have... You know, you think it was crazy because Jerry's crazy and Jimmy's, you know, he's big, strong, and you're out there, the good-looking guy. And Aikman's a superstar, and Michael Irvin's crazy, but you guys were – you didn't have a crazy week? What's the craziest?
Crazy week, crazy hour. No. You know what, though? But I think –
Your first year you went 1-15, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, we went 1-15. Yeah, we beat the Redskins 10-9 or something out there. They had their 14 quarterback. God bless him. It was a guy that had won a Super Bowl for him, and I think they signed him, Williams.
So why didn't you guys go man overboard that year? You just kept grinding away?
No, you know what? We were the most of the guys on that staff were on the same staff with Jimmy at the University of Miami. You know what I mean? So he kind of took it all. And there was, he used to always believe in, and it was just kind of the same way with our personnel people. We brought the trainer with us.
Yeah.
We brought our PR guy with us.
Yeah.
So, you know, we kind of had they used to call us the old Miami Mafia. We used to jog together. There were six or eight of us every day at lunchtime.
Jimmy, jog.
We would head out and go for a jog, and we would talk the game plan all the way out and all the way back. I mean, we were that close is what I'm saying. And everybody kind of knew their pecking order. Nobody was on an ego trip. And we all knew that if we won, hey, that there would be opportunities for everybody.
Yeah. And that Cleveland situation doesn't feel like your Dallas situation.
No. Oh, no. Not by any means. Not by any means.
It's a mess. Dave Wannstedt. Let's hear it for Uncle Dave. He doesn't give us – he has 37 current jobs in America. Miami radio, Chicago TV.
Okay.
Good Lord, you're busy. Dave Wannstedt.